Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, I'm Mary Eileen Williams at Feisty Side of 50 Radio, and this show is a celebration of baby boomers who are embracing life as we grow older. And as we know, one of the best ways to do that is through travel and experiencing new and interesting sights and places. And that's why I am especially excited about speaking with our guest today, Andrew Nelson. Andrew is an award-winning writer and editor for National Geographic Traveler. He's been on his way through all 50 states as well as numerous countries for the magazine and the website. And he's also served as director of editorial projects for National Geographic Travel. So throughout his career, Andrew has no doubt been lucky enough to witness many incredible and awe-inspiring sights. And boy, are we lucky to have him join us today, because he's about to share all about a must-have new book from National Geographic called Here Not There, 100 Unexpected Travel Destinations. It's beautiful, it's information-packed, and I can't wait to share it with all of you. So welcome, Andrew.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Eileen.
Well, I have to begin by congratulating you. We had a couple seconds to speak before we went on air, but this is an incredible resource. And the places you selected are beautiful, but they're not typical tourist traps, and that makes such a difference when you travel. So I'd like to begin by you telling us how the book came into being. And, of course, I love the title, Unexpected Travel Destinations, 100 of them. Tell us a little bit about how this all started.
Oh, I'd be glad to. So basically, this all came about because the idea really was after, I think we can all remember after COVID, that the country came down with a collective case of FOMO, fear of missing out. So a lot of the iconic destinations that one would travel to, say Paris or the Empire State Building or the Smoky Mountains National Park, became very crowded. You had to wait in line. I myself remember standing in line for 2.5 hours at a Rome's Pantheon. And then once you finally got inside, you discovered that inflation had hit you in the wallet. So overnight, it seemed like Myrtle Beach became Monaco. And you know, you really felt like you were spending more money. And thirdly, all of us at National Geographic are concerned about over-tourism and its environmental impact. So if I could direct or redirect travelers to less visited places that contain some of the same attributes as more crowded ones, both the planet and travelers would win. So that's how it came about.
Well, and I have to say, again, we spoke a little bit briefly. I remember, and people in my audience are mainly baby boomers, so many of us can relate to this, places that I went to in my 20s and my 30s, and I wanted to revisit them later on. And it was like a stab to the heart, because these beautiful places, all of a sudden there were hordes of tourists, a bunch of cruise ships out, you know, in the harbor, and, you know, it really was disappointing. And so this book, I think, is a godsend, especially for older travelers. So I just was wondering, how did you select some of the spots that you chose to put in the book?
Well, it's kind of an interesting rubric that I used, in the sense of what might have been a good place. Some of it had to do with the National Geographic Network. I don't know if you realize, but you probably understand, we all talk to each other. So people who are working at National Geographic, whether they're editors, writers, photographers, all have lists of favorite places. So you remember those, or they have suggestions. The other criteria was, had I been there? I like to think of cities or destinations in this way. If they were a stock, would I buy it or short it? And these are all places that I would invest in emotionally, emotional wealth, because they all contain something of the essence of true place. And we've all, as you said, have seen those cruise ships in the harbor of our favorite seaside destination, and felt that sort of pang, like, oh no. But these are places where you don't really experience that. Instead, they're local, they're you feel intensely there. And this is very important, Eileen, because we do think that at National Geographic that all of our readers are explorers. So I want to give my readership that kind of sense of exploring. Something
well,
they didn't know.
Oh, excuse me. I got so excited I had to sneeze.
No, but, no worries. Yeah, God bless you.
Thank you. Well, absolutely. And I think, you know, this book is filled with exotic destinations for world travelers, but sometimes as we get a little older, that we can certainly be armchair travelers, but you include a lot of sites in the good old U.S. of A. So what are some of your favorite spots that you might be especially attractive? I know we're older than you, but maybe some of us who are, again, on the feisty side of 50.
Okay, so for all you feisty folks, and you know, we're very much wanting to give people things that they can do at whatever activity level they feel good at. One of the interesting places, which was so surprising to me, so let's just say you can't really get to Amsterdam, right? Or it's too expensive or too far away. You just want to go for a weekend. Then I suggest going to Indianapolis. I don't know why it's almost like Kansas, but we're not in Kansas anymore, are we? Indianapolis, and the reason why is because Indianapolis has a series of canal towpaths and canals that go right through the heart of downtown, along with safe bicycle paths, so you can have a leisurely bike ride or a walk on the canal. So it's like Amsterdam. And if you're there with an extended family, Indianapolis has the largest children's museum in the world. So it's one way to keep grandkids happy.
So, oh, my gosh. I knew you would be such a great interview, but what a wonderful idea. And I also want to say there's a whole chapter devoted to weekend alternatives. So you've got plenty of places that our listeners can go to where, you know, they don't, you know, within maybe, you know, a few hundred miles of where they actually live.
Oh, absolutely. And here's one that, you know, everybody, you know, and again, as I said, I'm not telling you not to go to the iconic places. Chances are your audience has probably been to them and might be looking for something else. But if you find Chicago too big and overwhelming, then think about going to Milwaukee. It's another city in the Great Lakes that has just a marvelous atmosphere, great neighborhoods. I mean, I like to call it San Francisco before you put on yoga pants, because it's got this wonderful, wonderful sort of grittiness to it and super friendly people. I mean, I've never been in a place, Eileen, where you walk in and you order a beer, because of course we know beer is big in Milwaukee because of Laverne and Shirley. And what happens is that it was bigger. It was before Laverne and Shirley, obviously, but that's how I might characterize it. But what's so great is you walk in, you order a beer, and somebody turns to you and says, "Where are you from?" And you tell them, "Well, first time I've been to Milwaukee." And they say, "What? Are you kidding? Come over. Sit at our table." And the next thing you know, they're buying you more beer than you can possibly drink and telling you about all the great neighborhoods to go visit. There's a famous one called Under the Polish Moon, which is basically a factory clock. And it was in the mid-20th century. It was populated mainly by Americans of Polish descent. So if a girl was going on a date, they'd say, "Get home by 12 under the Polish moon." So this is how that happened. And again, just these lovely, you know, a lovely experience. So that's a great place. Another place I find just really interesting, not too many people have been there, is Natchez, Mississippi. I'm talking to you from Charleston, South Carolina, which I know so many people know because it's such a great destination. But, you know, Natchez, Mississippi could use a little love too. Not too many people go there, and it's the quintessential southern city with some of the most gorgeous historic homes that you can see anywhere. Absolutely beautiful, and I think for a lot of West Coasters and East Coasters, they don't know too much about it. So there's no interstate nearby, which is actually a good thing, right? So I would say go to Natchez, Mississippi, if you want a taste of the South. And what's absolutely fascinating is that they are actually telling stories and narratives about things that weren't so great in Natchez 150 years ago, the issue of slavery. Wow. So now you can find, you know, tour guides who will talk quite candidly about the miseries of being enslaved. And they have houses in historical tours where you can hear about the civil rights movement in Natchez, along with some of the antebellum homes that the city has become known for. So another great place. Not too many people know about it.
Wow, Andrew, I've got to say, and I also want to, we're unfortunately running out of time because I could talk to you for hours. This is so much fun. But another chapter is entitled Unconventional Parks. So if you're a naturalist, you can go there. Others went, I love tracks, trails, and road less traveled. It's just a fabulous book, and it had to have been a true labor of love for you. So before we have to close, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share about the book, the importance of travel, or whatever?
Well, I think your audience has lived long enough to know and gain some wisdom and know that travel is truly the most educational thing one can do. To get out and into the world is a fabulous time. So, and something we should all treasure, whatever age. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, Andrew, this has been a real pleasure. Thanks so much for not only sharing your information, but your obvious delight and passion for what you do, because it has been a joy to get to talk to you. And for you listeners out there, please do yourself a major favor. Check out National Geographic's Here Not There, 100 Unexpected Travel Destinations. It's an incredible resource. You can plan your next trip by really going out there and packing your bags, or even some armchair travel, because it's also a big feast for the eyes. So until next time, this is Mary Eileen Williams at Feisty Side of 50 Radio. See you, I'll catch you later. Bye-bye.